job. Well, I see some that belongs to him in here. Sounded like you guys were really enjoying the singing. You guys were into that, let me tell you. It's a shame we didn't have a recorder so we could record it and publish it for you. That would have been great. This morning I want us to look at some scripture. It's old, familiar scripture, but it has a lot of meaning to it, and I think in the day we live in, we certainly have reason to hold on to him, because nothing else is going to suffice. I would like you guys to remember my older sister. Found this morning she has COVID and she has a fatal lung disease. She's on oxygen 24/7 as it is. Her husband, Larry, my brother-in-law, who has cancer, he's doing well from his. And my sister, Carol, and my nephew, who is, I think it took an attack on the family or something. We live in some strange times. Amen? All right? Would anybody disagree with that? No. We live in some times where we really need to be focused on what the truth is and what God has called us to. Let me ask you, are we really doing what God has called us to do? I'm talking about individually. Corporately is a question for all of us, but for you individually, are we doing what God has called us to do? Or are we just been churchalized? Is that a word? Listen, it is now. I said something once, I made up a word one time, and there was a lady here who was a teacher, an English teacher, and she said, I don't think that's a proper word. I said, it is for me. I said, I made that word up, so I know it's the right word. That's funny. Take your Bibles and turn to a real familiar part of the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, there was a lot of issues at Corinth. A lot of issues. Again, let me say there was a lot of issues. And Paul addressed those issues head on. He certainly gave them the right direction. And so he comes to them. Like a lot of times churches get off focus, and everything gets off focus. If our church is off focus, we're off focus. Our church is off because we're off. And if we're off, it's because, could God be off? No, it couldn't be. So I guess it points back to us, doesn't it? Instead of, we can't blame God for it. So I want to talk this morning about refreshing, being refreshed. I don't know about you guys, but I need refreshing. Amen? I need a refreshing. You know, I get in the shower every day and I take that water, especially when we've been outside and it's hot and you're all dirty. There's nothing like stepping in that shower. It's refreshing. I like it cold. I like it cold, and that's the way it is. I don't want any hot water on me when I'm bathing. I want it cold. But to me, it's refreshing. To others, it might run out. So now you know why I'm off a little bit here, don't you? I enjoy the strange things of life. But it's refreshing, and you get out and you feel so good. And you're just so thankful that what you've done is completed, and you don't have to go back out there and do it again. You know what I mean? But this morning we want to be refreshed, but not by I hope everybody took a shower. I hope that you did, but want to be refreshed by what God has for us. And he has so much for us. Let's stand as we read the word. Very familiar scripture. I love this area of the scriptures. There's so much to preach from right in this little portion right here. The Bible says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciling others. That this is in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father, thank you for your word, the powerful truth that sits under the inspired word of God. May it challenge us this morning. May we look at our own hearts today. May we examine ourselves, not worrying about anyone else but ourselves right now. And may you speak to our hearts. You are the one who knows our very intent. So we pray, Lord, this morning that you would examine us and reveal to us those things in our life that we're just not really trusting you with. Where we've grown stale, I pray, Lord, you'd refresh us. I pray you'd challenge us today through your word. That in Christ Jesus, our Lord, we have been made righteous. We thank you for that. Lord, there may be some in the building right now that does not know you in the free pardon of sin. It may be someone who's been to church all their life and just never trusted. We are thankful that you have showed yourself to us and proved to mankind that you were Lord when you were walked out of the grave alive. Thank you for salvation. I pray you'd open our hearts just now. Do the work that only you're able to do. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Being refreshed is something that all of us need, and we need it quite often, I think. Especially in the days that we're in, tough. It's just tough days right now for everybody. Their lives are on edge. They don't know which way to go. We hear this information, that information. This is right, that's wrong. All kinds of stuff. But this morning, I want us to look at ourselves. Now, if you've been born of God, all right, not if you're a church member, but if you've truly been born of God, have heard the call of God, seen the truth of God, and in your heart you believe that, something's different. Now, you know, we have faith. We have faith, and God gives us a measure of faith. But that faith needs to grow as we grow in our spiritual understanding. But with faith, everybody practices faith. Nobody is exempt from faith. Even those who, listen, when we come this morning and I got in my truck, I pulled out on the highway and I had faith that everybody coming my way would stay on their side of the road. Wanda was praying I'd just stay on my side of the road because I will wander off every now and then. But we have faith there. We have faith that what we see is real. There are faiths of other religions There is atheism, which is a faith. There's all kinds of things. Whether right or wrong, whatever we believe is a faith. So what we have to do is examine our old faith. Let me tell you how we were. Now, I don't know how you were, but I know how I was. I was far from God with no understanding, really, of what it meant to be one of His. I had no understanding of what He had done for me, really, personally, for myself. I was away from Him, did not understand Him, and the only faith that I had was what I was able to do. Well, I could do a lot of stuff. There was one thing I could not do. I could not build a relationship with somebody I didn't know. Like when me and Wanda started dating, if we had not dated all that time beforehand, before we actually married, we wouldn't have made it 48 years. We would have been cut off short, I'm sure. But we got to know each other, and what surprised me, when she got to know me, she liked me. That was a big surprise right there. Because she liked me, and she said, when I said, "Will you marry me?" she said, "Sure." So she had some kind of faith in me. But when we come to Him, the Bible clearly says, for the love of Christ controls us. Our life literally changes after we come to know Christ. And it is not us controlling us, it is Christ. If we walk in Him, I'm telling you, He leads and guides us. He controls our thoughts, our heart. He controls our hands, our feet. He is the one that leads us and guides us. But we, in the day we live in, too often, I hear this all the time, that somebody will say, "Yes, I have faith," but they fail to show that faith by faith. Because they put their faith in everything but Him. I mean, you know, sometimes we put our faith in our church or in our denomination, which the only thing our denomination will get us is nothing. All right? I just want you to know that. I mean, I'm proud of being a Baptist. I've been a Baptist all my life. But that will get us nothing. And the truth of the matter is that does not even control our life. You know why? Because most of the time, the president or the heads of the of our convention, they know my name when they read it on the list of them 48,000 churches that I'm the pastor of this church. They can read that, but as far as knowing me, they don't know me. So when I come to know Christ, they cannot control me, and they still cannot control me. We are an entity of our own. But what mattered was this. When Christ came in, He took control. And my faith in myself, and my faith just in life, in my faith in not understanding who He was, my life completely changed. All of a sudden I realized that He was in control. All I had to do is find myself a place where I would, I guess you call it a nook, if you would. Find a little nook where I can follow. But you know what? Following in the nook often needs a refreshing. Often as a believer, we need it every day. Every day we need to be renewed in our faith. Every day we need to be renewed in our heart. Every day we need to be renewed in our position where Christ is. And without fellowship, we cannot know Him. But listen, the Bible says here that if He died for us, all of us were dead. So nobody can say that they do not need Him. Nobody can say, "Well, I can get along without Him, and I can, you know, I can do enough myself to make it to heaven." Well, guess what? We can't. Matter of fact, we can't even do enough without Him to even live a good life, hardly. Because, see, He came to give us an abundant life. Not just life. not just the spiritual life. He came to make this life right here more abundant, more full, more enjoyable. But let me ask you this. When things come into our lives, it don't have to be the stuff that's going on right now. It don't have to be COVID. But when things come into your life and you become worried and afraid and don't know what to do, do we know where we need to go? Do we know that God has given us a brand new faith, a faith that we can hold on? And he has given us a measure of faith to start with. So all we have to do is plug in. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And whether we do it through the singing, you guys were singing beautiful today. I mean, you guys were loud. I thought I saw some cracking in the ceiling. But really, you guys were doing wonderful. And if whether we sing it, whether we talk it, or whether it's preached, whatever way that we hear it, we can grow and understand him more and more, and our faith increases all the time. See, it's a new way to practice life. It's a new way to do things that you do. It's a new way to find joy in the world. I tell you, things are sad. And I say that because Christ is being rejected by the ones who he loves. And who is that? Everybody. There's no one who he does not love. But we have to understand that he has given us a brand new faith. Our faith can grow and mature. And if we will just follow him, Christ will lead us through whatever happens. The Bible says here, as I said, he died for all of us. Not just some of us. The Bible says all. That's an A-L-L. Now, in the Greek, in the original language, this word means all, right? Everybody, which includes all of us. So God has pinpointed something for each one of us, something that can mature us in the faith. And if we are not growing in the faith, we are not doing justice to what he's done for us. But here's the thing. He has to be a major part of our life. He has to be a major part of our life. We can't just put him on the shelf. Now listen, we can put a lot of things on the shelf that really don't matter. But the one thing you cannot put on the shelf is Christ. Because if you do not walk in him, if you do not fellowship with him, if we do not fellowship with each other, if we don't have fellowship together, if we don't worship together, if we don't pray together, if we don't sing together, if we don't live together, whatever things that might be in our life, we cannot be what he wants us to be. I used to work a job about 15 hours every day, work you to death. But I know this, I could not do that job at the house. I had to be out, away from the home. And this is the same way. We cannot be exempt from fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters. We really have to focus on that and say, whenever we come together, the Bible says, let us join together, let us worship together, let us come together and assemble ourselves together and do it even more when we see that day approaching. And that day is more than just when we think he's coming back. That day is when there's issues in life. That's days whenever you're hurting. Days when you need some help. Days when you need someone to support you. That's what it's all about. And because we were dead, he died for us. And now because he lives, we now can live in him. We have a brand new position. My position before him was I was lost without any hope. Guess what? Now I have more than hope, if there's anything more than hope. I have a secured hope. I have a hope that cannot, will not ever change. That hope is in Christ. And that hope is as secure as the sun is in place. It is as secure as the clouds that passes by. that salvation we have because me and you had nothing to do with it. Me and you didn't even know we were lost. Me and you didn't even know there was a God until God showed us that there was. And because he did that, and by faith you believed, he gave you a brand new position. And that brand new position is in Christ. So let me ask you this. If we are in Christ, what can harm us? The Bible says we are a brand new creature. We're not the same that we were before we said, I believe. And Lord, forgive me. We were not the same. We've changed. Brand new people. Brand new heart. Brand new position in Christ. Now think about this. If we have been transferred from this right here to the in the body of Christ, who can do anything? I've used this a number of times. I'm going to use this. It's like making a cake. Got a big old bowl there. You start pouring out the ingredients. You put flour. You put sugar. You put milk or whatever it is you put in it. And you stir all that up together. Mix it. And then you pour it in a pan, and it comes out to a beautiful cake. Unless I do it. But that cake, when you pour it in that pan, although it's the same ingredients that you put in that pan, in that bowl as you were mixing, same ingredients, you cannot separate it to save your life. Never, ever would you ever be able to. Even after it's baked, you cannot separate the sugar from the flour and all of that from the milk. The Bible says that we are hid in Christ. We have been baptized into him. We are immersed into Christ. We've been mixed in with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not just mixed in with Baptists. We're mixed in with the Holy Spirit and with the Father, and with the Son. So who in the world in that kind of position could ever do anything to mess up what he's done? I can tell you this, there will never be another sacrifice. Never. Never, never, never. Well, what you say, well, what does that matter? Well, let me just throw this in. The Bible says, and I guess that's true, what the Bible says. Let me see how I want to put this. The Bible says that in Christ Jesus, where we have been securely put, we can be brand new, new thought, new mind, new purpose, a new place. But as we work in Christ Jesus, the world sees him and not us. If anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creature. Old things are gone. You have become a brand new individual. Your thought's different. Your position's different. The work is different. But he's not. He's not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the wonderful thing about him is he never, ever grows old. He never, ever gets tired. He never, ever gets weary. He never, ever is not ready at the very moment to do for you what you need. He gives us what we need all the time. And he also, listen, the Bible says old things are passed away. We were talking a little bit about that the other day. And talking about how things were way back. Way back when. And I remember those days. It was not good. Now let me ask you something. If you come to know Christ at an early age, God bless your soul. At an early age, coming to know Christ, listen, you can avoid so many pitfalls. But if you come late in life, there's a lot of testimony that you've got in your life because of the way that we were before Christ transformed us. A lot more. There's so much of my life I'm so ashamed of. Honestly, I'm just so ashamed that my life got in that kind of condition. I don't even talk about it. I just say there's parts of my life where I don't even want to talk about. But see, in Christ, all that has passed away. Everything now is brand new. Matter of fact, he don't even remember what I done. He chose not to remember. And he set those things in the pile of forgiveness. And by doing that, he has made me have a new place in Christ, and he has renewed a peace within us. I remember when I was young, I'm talking about child, my daddy, he was the strongest man I ever knew. He was a rough, tough old codger, though. But he was strong. I remember that. And if anything ever happened, at all, whatever daddy said would bring peace in my heart. Whatever was going on, if daddy just said, son, it's going to be okay, don't worry about it, that brought peace to me. But then as I got older, and older, and I begin to love the world instead of him, things got worse and worse and worse. When I come to know Jesus, I was so engrossed in sin at the very moment I'd done nothing but cried like a whipped baby. Bitterly cried. Bitterly cried. But in my faith, all that stuff that I had done, all that stuff that I knew was heavy on my heart because of sin, he forgave that and gave me a peace. Paul said it was a peace that passed all understanding. I don't understand that. We were talking about it the other day, about how that when something happens tragically in our life, how God can just step in. Have you ever faced something that's really horrific? And God step in. Whenever you thought, I can't do it no more, I just can't go any further. And then all of a sudden, he steps in. And there's a peace, a calmness that overwhelms you throughout your body, throughout your mind, throughout your spirit. And you know that God is present doing what he does best. And that is to comfort his children. That's what he does. No matter how bad the situation is, I want you to understand that we have a new place. We don't have to fight like that anymore. We don't have to put up with that kind of... All we have to do is go to him. Just go to him. And he is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with him. If we just give it to him, he gives us freedom. He will take those chains that is binding you and he will break them. And he will lead you to paths of joy and peace. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been overwhelmed with something and we tried everything to get relief and could not get relief? Because we tried other things. See, that's what we like to do. People like to do their own thing. You know, and when we do that, it's like saying, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I've got a better idea than you got. You know, and it's in everything. If it's in the Bible, we want to try our best to do what the Bible says to do. Because that will give us peace and joy. It will fulfill our lives if we just do what he's asked us to do. And listen, we will not be able to be perfect in it. There's some things that we can do pretty well, but there's some things we can't even touch. But he can. He can. He will renew our passion, our love. Now, Y'all have heard me say this before. I really love going to church. I want to be at every service. When there's a service, I want to be there. When I first come to know the Lord, I was the same way then. I knew that I needed to be in church. And we went to church for everything. I don't care what it was. If it was wash the window days, we went and looked. If it was work day, we were there. I know the first church we went to, we built a building, and my blood is literally in the walls of that building where we built, toting those big old blocks and stuff, helping build it. Blood in my hands got on the bricks. So I know that I got blood in that church. But he gives us a new passion. Nobody ever had to tell me when I come to know the Lord, well, you need to go to church. The church, God's give you something that church needs. And that's another thing. He gives us a passion for him and a passion for his people. Now, if you want to be sad, and I don't know how you get along with, well, let's just say your best friend. Hopefully it's family. But if you go and have a best friend and y'all run around and do everything together, and then all of a sudden you don't go anymore. Oh, you could go, but you don't go. Because I need to rest out. I've done this all week. I've done that all week. I've got this going on or that going on, and I just need some time off. I remember people used to say, well, Sunday night is my family night. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. Family night, mama's in the kitchen cooking probably, and daddy's in there watching TV, and Sally and Joe is upstairs playing games on their computers. And there's nothing about family at all about that. God said, listen, that we are to teach our children. And we teach our children by showing our children how you live a Christian life. If we don't show them, listen, nobody's going to show them when they're little. It's our duty. So he gives us a new passion. He gives us a brand new priority. And our priority is doing what he's given us the job to do. I don't know of anything. Of course, I know the Bible tells us a lot of stuff to do. A lot of stuff. Let me just tell you what I believe is the mandate for the church. And if the church is not doing it, they're not doing what God's called them to do. And that is just simply this. Jesus said for us to go and reach people, teach people, teach them how to be disciples. Not just win them and leave them. Win them and teach them. And we are to do it throughout the whole world. Now, I know all of us can't go places. All of us are not missionaries. I remember a friend of mine told me, he said that we have always talked about missionaries, and we never had a missionary out of a church. So he said, I began to pray that God would take somebody in our church and make a missionary out of them. And God did. His daughter. And she was assigned to a nation where it could not say where she was because of her Christian faith. And she went on the mission field. He said, I never thought about that part. See, God gives us a priority. There's not too many people who grow up saying, well, I'd have to go be a missionary and be in a dangerous place to live. Be in a place where I've really got to be cautious about sharing the gospel. No, we want to go, and everybody we talk to comes to know Jesus. But I found out that's not the way it happens. It happens when we are obedient and God is working in that heart. That's when it works. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We have a brand new priority. It's not just to ourselves, it's to those that are around us. Our priority is others. Matter of fact, it's not ourselves at all. If we focus on ourselves, then we're focusing on the wrong person. The Bible says that we are to do for orphans, for widows, for those that are in prison, those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, those that are in hospitals. All those things, tons of things that we should do should be our priority and not what is happening to me. Look how inconvenient this is for me. Sometimes we just sing. I know I said, I told Wanda one time, the church, for pastor's appreciation, they gave me a recliner. That was wonderful. I named it the Word. I told Wanda, I said, somebody calls and I'm in that chair, you just tell them I'm in the Word, I can't come right now. Just tell them I am just in the Word, deep in the Word, and I can't get out of it right now. Either that or whatever you want to. Name me a boat that. Just don't care it out there on Sunday. Let me tell you, why do we need to go to church? Because Christ died for the church. In the testament of Christ, in the testament of the early church, you know what they done on the first day of the week? They went fishing. No, they didn't. They went to worship. Those guys that had worshiped all the time on the Sabbath, because of the Lord's day, because he rose from the dead on the first day, guess what they started doing? They came and honored the day of the Lord. They worshiped him. They served him. They went. Can you just imagine being one of the early first century Christians and what they had to face? I thank God that we are in America where it's not like that yet. Just think what they had to go through, and yet they were willing to give their lives for the gospel's sake. We have a brand new testimony. Can we give our life to him? Can we make ourselves be faithful to him? And I know we live in a crazy time. People work. People on Sunday sometimes have to work. They work different days of the week. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes at night. Things are different. When I was young, there was no stores open whenever it was Sunday. So everybody could go to church. I remember what surprised me one time. I went to an old pastor's house that in the city he lived in, and on a Sunday morning, everybody in that town was going somewhere. I said, where's everybody going? He said, they're going to church. I said, you got to be kidding me. Churchyards were full. It's not like that anymore. We have a brand new position, a brand new opportunity. We have been renewed. We can proclaim the gospel if we trust him. But it's because of what he's done. For our sake, the Bible says he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. On that cross, he bore my sins, every one of them. Those that I will commit tomorrow, those that I can't. I hope I live another 25, 30 years. That'd be nice. But his sacrifice was sufficient. And nothing will ever undo his sacrifice. Because if he lost one, if he ever loses one, who's going to pay that price? Who's going to die that death? No one. So God has given us something great this morning. Brand new start, a refreshing. It's like a cold shower on the sea of Jesus if we would just walk in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for